And I'm gonna have Jennifer lay on her back with her head at this end. And do you want a blanket?
No, not necessarily.
So basically what I'm gonna be doing with Jennifer is this. I'm gonna be placing this hand, my right hand, transversely under her sacrum, just cradling it, like I'm holding it. Just gently holding it, not putting any pressure on it. And I'll come up under her, back of her head. This is the occiput. In Latin, it just means back of the head. It's rude. And sacrum means sacred bone. So I'm holding the back of the head and the sacrum bone and connecting up with the core link between the sacrum, the whole spinal column, the cerebrospinal fluid inside of the membrane system, up into where it begins to attach into the brain and the head. And I can sense her entire system from here. It's very, one man described it when I was, after the session, was that he felt like he'd gone back to his infancy when he was first born and held with the support of his sacrum in his head. And it brought back that time of feeling absolutely nurtured and cared for. It's very healing. So I'm going to slide this hand and lift her up and slowly come right under her tailbone. Okay? Could you dim the lights just a little bit because it's right in her eyes? Thank you.
It's the dimmers on the side of the switch.
Thank you. Perfect. And then I'm going to take this, my hand that's by her head, and slide under her neck, and then gently, without pulling her hair, cradle her occiput, back of the head. And I won't go into a lot of detail of what I'm sensing about her cranial wave.
The cranial wave that you know was going on with her?
Mm-hmm. The breath of life that's animating her system. It, with someone with trauma, there's a different wave than there was is with someone with an illness or someone with pressure in different parts of their cranium, you can begin to pick up that if someone has had a spinal injury where the cranial wave is not able to move as freely, where there are restrictions, you can begin to work with the body on letting go of those restrictions, beginning to unwind and release. You'll notice her eyes are going into REM, which is rapid eye movement. She's going into a deep place very slowly. And when her eyes get totally quiet again, she'll be there. It's what I call a dream state. It's a twilight state that the body goes into, which is very, very healing and nurturing. The way I describe it with people, I'm really along for the ride. I'm just there as a facilitator, and the real healing that's happening is as the breath of life begins to feel nurtured and safe, the animated system within her, she begins to do her own healing. The brilliant intelligence of the body's ability to heal, sometimes it just needs a little space and facilitation. And if you've noticed, her breathing has gotten slower. Even with me talking, imagine if it was a nice, quiet session. You could feel, I could feel that her cranial wave has begun to slow down. And her face has softened. And she feels safe. There's this beautiful energy traveling up and down, the Kundalini energy that's traveling up and down from sacrum to the cranium. Kind of slowly come off. And slowly pull my hands out. And we'll let her come back. And if she feels like saying something, she can. Question?
Sometimes, so is it good for like the client to just lay there and process?
Yes.
Without them talking? Should they talk? Or would it be better if they don't talk?
Sometimes people have questions they'll ask. I don't give them any information unless they ask.
So it's okay to ask, process, and they talk?
Sometimes people process for another 20, 30 minutes.
Is there a minimum amount of time that you do the work? I mean, it's like an hour, a necessity? Do you use an hour as the...
An hour is generally the average. I work with children doing pediatric cranial sacral work, and it depends on the age of the child, but generally those aren't more than half an hour or 20 minutes. Especially when you have the cruisers that they don't stay still.
The reason that you work on them is
I work with children with sensory integration issues, with birth traumas or problems with sleeping only on one side of their head so that their cranial bones flatten, and then I do cranial molding. Work with children with attention deficit issues, sensory integration, children who have there was a problem at birth, and it begins to manifest in that fear, at night, fear, where then they aren't able to go to sleep, or digestive issues. Children, cranial work is done with children with autism, which is a retreat from the world, or they're stuck in fight or flight, and they can't find the present. It's either one extreme or the other. So we're finding that cranial work helps to bring them to a midline and to begin to work with their whole little neurological system. But you can work anywhere from birth, the day of birth. In Britain, there's a lot of cranial molding that's done as right after a child is born, and then working with the mother on normalizing her pelvic bowl right after birth. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Or all the way up through someone being a midwife to the other side, someone transitioning.
I read something about, I can't remember the doctor's name, but he did cranial work on children or people in general, and said something about how infants were he basically wanted to quit working with adults and just work strictly with infants because of, I guess, the birthing process was, you know, if you had a something happen during that time, it affected the rest of your life
yes.
Majorly, and that was the cause of pretty much every problem that you have. And was just wondering, I was curious if you had worked with infants, which you did answer, I think, and how is that the difference between an infant, a child, or an adult with the cranial work?
When a child is born, their cranium is cartilage and membrane, just the beginnings of formation of bone. So you have this amazing sense of fluidity. It's truly beautiful work. But what Dr. Sutherland said is, as the twig is bent, so grows a tree. So a trauma that happens in birth or in gestation that's not resolved has a huge formative effect on the way someone looks at their life. Like, were they welcomed into the world? Or was there a time of trauma? Was it a birth, a pregnancy that was unwanted? Or was it something that brought great joy to those involved? Those things begin to play out in people's lives. And I can sense in a session, so can many other practitioners that have developed their skills, you can sense that there was some trauma that's unresolved, that's having impact on someone not being able to lead the life that they want to lead. That there's a deep reservoir of suffering from early on that can be resolved even later in life.
So about talking about what you felt in terms of Jennifer's cranial wave, what do you, can you often pick up with people when you are doing this holding? Like, what is it that you, can you experience trauma? Can you experience disease? Can you experience pain?
All of those. And sometimes you can experience an emotion that is playing out in a physical form.
Do it, go back to, it can come up to, like back in childhood, the parents.
Yes, yes. All of those things.
Is that through the verbal word of your talking with the person that you figure that out, that it was childhood, or is it something that you experience through the energy?
I'll experience it through the energy, mm-hmm. a sensing, and if I think it's appropriate, with very careful words, I may ask a question, or sometimes I decide to wait to see if they want to ask me a question. You can be in a session and information comes to you on many different levels, whether I see something or whether I hear something or whether I feel a wave of emotion that comes through me, the channel of empath, or my hands are drawn someplace, I simply follow that, the healer's hands follow. So opening up your channels of perception allows you to do this work on a deeper level, and to be of more service to those that you're working with. But the experience of the human condition is stored on a cellular level throughout the body. And this, the field of chi, our energy flow, is a field of information and intelligence. So what the cranial sacral work practitioner is doing is opening themselves up to that field of information and intelligence and acting on that level.
Someone asked how long you are your sessions. You said that 60 minutes was an average, I thought you said.
Right. My first session, I usually have 90 minutes so that we can have time for someone to tell me what they want to tell me, to tell me their story, and not be rushed. And I've had sessions where when the session was over and I felt someone needs to stay in that place that they're at, I'll just cover them up and leave the room and let them finish their process. Very often after sessions, people will have interesting dreams come up that, and if you begin to listen to your dreams, Carl Jung talked about how it's a part of the psyche answering questions. If you learn how to listen to those dreams. How are you?
I'm good.
She's good. We'll leave it at that. So we can break up for informal talk. Let her get up, because when you're on the table, your temperature drops and you get cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have put a blanket on you. But I want to thank everyone for coming.
Thank you.
I have information here if anyone didn't get my handout. And I hope to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's nice. I'm going to say it now, because if you...